Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Check this out. On this episode, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about imposter syndrome. You see the title, you're an imposter. I was thinking, like, just based on a conversation that I had a couple of weeks ago, maybe about a month or so ago, talking with my wife, Sharice. And she is, first of all, she's an incredible person. She's an incredible wife. She's an incredible mother. She's an incredible friend. At the time of this recording, we've been married 23 years, going on 24, right? And so sometimes I'm amazed by some of the things that she says. And we were talking about something that had happened at work for her. And she almost, she was revealing to me some things that she was feeling or whatever about her position, because she just got this new promotion, this position, more responsibilities, obviously more money. But she made reference to being an imposter, or sometimes maybe feeling like an imposter. And it kind of caught me off guard, because this is somebody who's very skilled, somebody who's very confident. And so it led me to ask her questions about what she's saying or what have you. And I think what I took from that conversation was, like, sometimes people can feel like they're in an imposter syndrome. And if you don't know what imposter syndrome is, I'll tell you. It's a feeling of unworthiness or incompetence, despite achieving accomplishments and success. This feeling is most common in the workplace, but it can manifest itself in just about any part of life. Those with imposter syndrome often go through great lengths to hide it, which can ultimately stunt their future success. And I just kind of reminded her, like, you have earned this. You deserve this. You've worked your ass off to get it. Now let's take it to another level. Are you going to make mistakes? Yeah, we all make mistakes. We're human. But, you got into this place for a reason. And I just kind of left the conversation at that. And again, she's someone who I think has not only amazed me in the time, in the 30 plus years we've known each other. She's also amazed me, just who she is as a person and where she's come from, her background, everything like that. She's someone who grew up in Compton, California. And to have lived the life that she lived, survived Compton, come to across the country to go to school at South Carolina State University, meeting a suave and debonair guy, falling in love with him by the name of 12 Kyle. She accomplished a lot. But she accomplished a lot way before she met me. And obviously we both accomplished a lot together. But, I think the biggest thing I wanted to kind of impress upon her is, like, no, you made it. Like, not so much as that you made it, because I think sometimes we make it, but then we don't feel like we earned it, even though we really did bust our ass to earn it. No, you got here for a reason. And, sometimes people who have imposter syndrome, they feel like frauds, despite being, smart, despite being very skilled and capable for professionals. They may have second doubts or second guess themselves, rather than, celebrating their accomplishments. Sometimes they think that they're not good enough. And, I was there in that particular conversation to remind her that she is good enough. When I look at myself, I don't think I've ever had any type of imposter syndrome. And the reason being is that I'm an extremely confident person, right? So I've always believed in Kyle. So it's never been any doubt as to who I was rocking with. If nobody else wasn't rocking with me, I was rocking with me. So that was enough for me. Me was a one-man army. But as I grew and got older, you know, obviously I had more people in my corner. I started off with, you know, probably two of the greatest people that you can have in your corner, and that's your parents. And I've always had them in my corner and still in my corner to this day. And they still talk to me and counsel me, even though I'm 51 years old at the time of this recording. But no, I've never had those type of thoughts or doubts. But I can see how they can creep up on someone. But I think if you ever suffer from imposter syndrome, just understand and know that, you know, you did what you were supposed to do to get where you got. And in doing that and in saying that, you understand that there's some reward that comes with it. It's not about being, you know, exposed or quote unquote found out, you know, because, you know, like I told Sharice at that particular time in that conversation, like, you know, the people who hired you, they know what you're capable of doing. Even if some of the stuff that you're doing, you've never done before, it's capable of being done. If not, they wouldn't have had the position. And they basically created this position for you. To me, that says a lot. Because if you create a position for me, trust me, I'm going to take the ball and I'm going to run with it. And I'm going to keep running and I'm going to keep running until someone tells me to stop. And then I still may not stop. But, you know, there's a variety of reasons why people can feel like they're an imposter. It could be something as simple as, you know, being a perfectionist to, you know, maybe your upbringing. In my case, I'm not a perfectionist, but I want to do things the right way. in Sharice's case, I think she's probably closer to a perfectionist. And she's not perfect. No, none of us are. But I know that she's just the type of person, the type of hustler, like, particularly when she's tasked with something, her name is attached to it. She wants to be the best. She wants to put her best foot forward. And I think one of the things that, of many things that I love about her is that she has instilled that in our children. I remember our youngest, our daughter, Skylar, she was doing a science project. And I'm very hands off when it comes to projects, because I hated projects when I was in school. And I remember I went out and got some food or something, because we weren't cooking that night. And went out and got some food, came back. And when I came back, I walked in the living room and, like, all you saw was, like, poster boards and sticky notes and cut out pictures and stuff. And I see Skylar over here. She's over here working. And I see Sharice over in the corner. She's over there typing. And I'm like, she's typing up some stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing? She was like, well, I'm just helping her with this. And I'm like, yo, you can't do her project for her. She's like, no, I'm not doing it. She's like, I'm just typing it because it's late. You know, I don't want her being up late, blah, blah, blah. But what that told me was that she was also instilling in Skylar that, you know, your name is on this. You know, you're going to put in the work, because your name is associated with it and you want to put your best foot forward. That's who she is. And that's, again, that's something that's going to trickle down, or has trickled down, to our kids. But, you know, like I said, nobody's perfect. You know, sometimes our family upbringing could make us feel like imposters. I've never had that, but I know people who, in their families, let's say they were quote unquote the one who made it. My thing is this: if you're the one that made it, and you're the one that made it to the good job and the good life and the cars and the house, you know, you earned it. Like, you didn't cheat your way to the top. You got there by design and by your hustle and your own sweat. And then sometimes, you know, particularly with families, if they're not as driven, if they're not as focused, there could be some resentment, some pushback, some bitterness, some hateration, holleration in the dancery. Shout out to Mary J. Blige. But yeah, that could definitely happen. But I don't think that you should ever let that make you feel any less of you. Because again, you did what you were supposed to do to get to where you are. And I don't think anybody can take that away. How common is imposter syndrome? It's fairly common from what I remember and what I wrote and what I've studied over the years. Because I remember doing a paper on it in college. Researchers found that up to 82% of people have suffered from imposter syndrome at some point or another. And I found that in my research back in college. But the thing about it was, like, even talking about it and doing a paper on it, I couldn't relate. Like, there were some formulas, some processes that I understood, some concepts that I understood about imposter syndrome. I just couldn't relate because I worked for mine. I don't think anybody, you know, understands. And I know I've talked about it on this podcast and it's worth repeating. You don't know what I did to get here. So there's only going to be a few people that can say anything to me about what I did to get here. Because most people weren't around for me to. And it's not to say that I've arrived, because I still feel like I got a long way to go. But this space where I'm standing on right now, this part of the hill that I'm standing on right now, no, I worked to get here, along with God. Now, I can't take all of it. Gotta think, man, above, but me and God, yeah. The dynamic duo. But yeah, I think even an 82%, that's a big number. But that doesn't mean that people don't have, you know, the wherewithal or have to go through something to get to that point. Because it's all about personal confidence and career growth. And that's something I think that I've relished in. But I do know people who don't have the same type of personal confidence. And that's kind of frustrating, because one of my friends, you know, he tends to get down on himself from time to time. And I'm like, look, dog, ain't nobody's giving you a pity party. Certainly not me. But I have to kind of, you know, be careful about the words that I use, because the level of confidence that I have, I've always had, right? So it's nothing new. So, you know, like Deion Sanders said, I wear confidence like cologne. But that was something that was instilled in me by my mom as a child. So when you have somebody tell you, you're the best, there's nobody like Kyle, you can do whatever it is that you want to do, that takes you a long way, because you, as you go through life, you believe it, because you haven't been proven otherwise. Right. But now if you have parents that make you second guess the things that you do at 15, at 17, at 19, at 25. Yeah. At 50, you're going to be definitely questioning things, because it's what you've done all your life. And so the confidence isn't there, because you don't know that you can necessarily pull that trigger. Not literal trigger, but you know what I mean. For me, it's no, you got to do it. You got to do it, and you don't think, you know, I don't even really try to think twice about it. I mean, of course, I have to, in anything that I do, I have to be considerate, because I am, you know, a family man. There are other people, particularly my kids, my wife, who depend on me to be a certain way. But imposter syndrome, like I said, even in doing a paper on it in college and talking to people about it and having conversations just, you know, as an adult, it's not something that I could ever, you know, I get it. Trust me, I get it. But I couldn't, you know, I don't really relate to in that sense. But then sometimes I step back and I look at some of the people around me and, you know, I kind of wonder. I remember Kendrick Lamar, a rapper, he has this song called Black Boy Fly. And the song Black Boy Fly highlights Kendrick as well as two other people that he knew growing up in Compton. Kendrick's from Compton. And he talked about the Game, the rapper, the Game, basketball player Aaron Aflalo, and he talked about himself. And those were three people that quote unquote made it out of Compton. And he also kind of gives off the impression that something that he's talked about, you know, that he had survivor's guilt, imposter syndrome, if you will, as well, because, like, you know, he's somebody who came from nothing and really rose to fame and fortune and all of this stuff like that. And he's speaking for a generation of people. He's speaking for his people. He's speaking for the people in his neighborhood. He's speaking for the friends and the homies that he lost along the way. And he saw a lot and he went through a lot. And to do all of that, you know, still feel like and be sitting on top of the world, literally and figuratively, and feel like, man, I don't know if I really belong here. I don't really know if I deserve this. No, Kendrick, you deserve it. You work for it. You put in the work and you made things happen and things fell into place. And that was why you were successful in that endeavor. But Black Boy Fly kind of talks about that, you know, just people being able to make it. And, you know, what's funny was I remember after a couple of times I heard the song, I remember asking Sharice about it. I'm like, because she's from Compton. And I was like, you ever think about, like, you know, like some of the kids that you grew up with and wonder why, you know, you were, not that you were any different or any special, you know, but being able to, you know, rise above, you know, some of the environment that you were in. And we had a really long conversation about that. And, you know, I find, particularly as I've gotten older, I like hearing people's back, particularly people that I didn't grow up with. People hearing about their background, especially, you know, now being in the podcast game for the last 6-7 years, hearing people's story as to how they became who we see in front of us. I say it on the podcast all the time, like, there are people who listen to this podcast that don't know me personally, but they know me through this podcast and they got a pretty good idea who I am. And there are some people who don't listen to this podcast at all, that don't know me at all. And there's some people who I grew up with that know me or may not know me as well as they think they do. But the thing that I love about it is that, you know, being able to share a piece of me through this medium with you. But yeah, imposter syndrome, it never fell on me. So I guess the bigger question is, the name of this podcast is You're an Imposter. How can you tell if you have imposter syndrome? As I mentioned earlier, it's fairly common. It is fairly common. But often we overlook signs of it in our day-to-day lives. You might have imposter syndrome if you feel like you quote-unquote got lucky when you actually prepared and worked hard. I mean, let's say you take a test at school. If you study for the test, you're supposed to get an A. Nobody looks up into getting an A. That don't happen. You got to be pretty smart. I mean, I don't care what subject it is, other than, you know, maybe health or gym. You should not be able to just luck into an A. You had to prepare for it. And I think sometimes, you know, society or haters or other people will try to tell you, like, oh man, you were just lucky. No, you weren't lucky. You prepared and you worked hard and you studied and you got the A. How else could tell if you might have imposter syndrome? If you find it hard to accept praise, that's one way to tell if you may have imposter syndrome. I'm good with praise, but I'm kind of shy. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm kind of shy. So here's the thing, and I think I mentioned this before. For as much as this podcast is about me, my thoughts and the things that I do, it's kind of hard when you turn the camera and turn and put all eyes on me. And I know right now, even if you're watching on YouTube, all eyes on me. And I have no problem speaking to a room of people or anything like that. I like to talk. But praise is something different. Recognition is something different. So while I can't say I don't accept, I do accept praise, but it's, you know, after a while it could be kind of, you know, all right, that's good. I think that's just me being shy. I don't know. But I do enjoy praise. But, you know, what's interesting is praise for me, particularly those who praise me, which are my friends, always turns to jokes. So me and my boys that I grew up with, my crew, we have a conference call. We started doing this during the pandemic. We have a conference call. We try to do it once. We should do it once a month. It's more like once every 2 months. And, you know, it's just, it's video, we Zoom it, and it's just us. We'll be drinking, we talking shit. And it's almost like just, these are my childhood friends, so it's almost like we just kind of take turns just, you know, chopping on each other. And just in doing that, we're making fun of each other, but it's all in good nature. But that's, you know, praise. Like, they might say, oh man, I can't believe he's not podcasting that. And then it'll be like 15 podcast jokes. And I enjoy that. But that's praise. But I love it. Another ways you could tell that you might suffer from imposter syndrome. If you apologize for yourself when you actually didn't do something wrong, that's kind of wild to me, because I don't believe in apologizing if you didn't do anything wrong. Now, if you're wrong, you're wrong. Apologize. But if you don't feel like you did something wrong, you're apologizing for something that you actually didn't do wrong, don't apologize. You know, people with imposter syndrome do that. They apologize when they actually didn't do anything wrong. If you hold yourself incredibly, sometimes impossibly, to high standards, you might suffer from imposter syndrome. There's nothing wrong with holding yourself to a higher standard. I think we all, whether it be at home, work, or play, in our relationships, in our friendships, we hold ourselves to a higher standard because that's who we are. That's who we represent. That's what we represent. But in doing that and putting it at high standards, you still want to make sure that you're realistic as well. Because again, I mentioned the word perfectionist earlier. None of us are perfect. Nothing wrong with high standards, but none of us are perfect. You could have imposter syndrome if you find the fear of failure paralyzing. Now this, I can semi-relate to. And the reason being is because I've always said, like, I've been pushed by the fear of failure, whether it be in school, when I was playing football, in life, particularly as I became a husband and a father, pushed by the fear of failure. I don't want to fail. And especially, I don't want to fail my kids, because they are unequivocally and totally dependent upon me. You know, not just financially, but just me being me. But the reality is I'm going to fail at some things. Duh. That's a part of being human. I'm going to fail at some point or some points or make mistakes in fatherhood. It's a given. You can't be a perfect father. Same goes for marriage. You just don't want those moments and those instances to be damaging. But you will make mistakes. It shouldn't be costly mistakes, but you will make mistakes. But I don't think, again, the fear of failure can be paralyzing for someone suffering from imposter syndrome. People who suffer from imposter syndrome sometimes avoid expressing their confidence, because they think people will see it as overcompensating or being obnoxious. And my thing is this: your confidence My confidence shouldn't bother you. If it does, that's a you problem. It ain't a me problem. Sorry. Not sorry. You may suffer from imposter syndrome if people close to you say that you're not as confident as you used to be. That's possible. Confidence can weigh sometimes. It can you know, weigh on you. It can fluctuate. even for those who are very confident, that can happen. If you turn down opportunities for growth, for visibility at work, that could be a true sign of imposter syndrome. Don't turn nothing down. Reach out and look out for any opportunity that you can, particularly at work. Because if the opportunities are coming your way, people think that you can do the work. If you can do the work, by all means, do it. I think people, you could find yourself suffering from imposter syndrome if you just really aren't focused as you should be. Focus is a big key. You know how focused you should be or shouldn't be. I don't know that anybody has to tell you how to be focused, but you need to be focused. Now, the bigger question is, if you do suffer from imposter syndrome, how do you get over it? Quite simple. A couple of things. Learn yourself first and foremost. You, more than anybody else, know your strengths. You know your weaknesses. And then also learn the facts about yourself. Because here's the thing. If you know the facts about yourself, you won't be bothered by the lies. Because as sure as I'm sitting here and as sure as you're sitting there listening, there will be lies told on and about you. The key is for you not to believe the lies, but learn the facts about yourself. Another way to get over imposter syndrome is to share your feelings. You know, like I mentioned at the beginning, Charisse and I had that conversation. You know, I thought that conversation was good because, you know, she explained to me what she was feeling. And while I did not agree, well, I can't say I didn't agree. I didn't necessarily understand it at first when she was initially talking to me about it. I think ultimately she brought me in because she really wanted to share that. And obviously I feel, you know, happy and fortunate because she's my wife. She's supposed to share these type of things with me and vice versa. If it's something I don't feel, I'm supposed to share that with her as well. Even if it's at work, because I think those things help. Another way to get over having imposter syndrome is to celebrate your successes. I am a firm believer in celebrating your successes. I remember just a couple of months ago at the time of this recording, when I hit my 500th episode, I was going to do something really simple and mundane. And I remember talking to, I was talking to my boy Zell, and I told him I was coming up on 500. He was like, "Man, we popping bottles for the podcast?" And I was like, "We're popping bottles? Like, man, this is just something simple. It's just, I'm just hitting 500. He's like, "Nah, man." He's like, "Man, it's 500. You got to celebrate that." And when he said it, I was like, "You know what? You're right. I got to celebrate this." And by celebrating, it doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be something on IG. It doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be posted on Twitter or Facebook or whatever like that. But you need to celebrate your success. Most podcasts don't get past 10 episodes. To put up 500? 500? Come on, man. You got to celebrate that. You got to. Celebrate your successes. Another way to get over imposter syndrome is to let go of perfectionists. You can't be a perfectionist. So you got to let the idea, the mindset of being a perfectionist, you got to let that shit go. You just got to let it go. Another way to get over imposter syndrome is to share your feelings. Again, tell people how you feel. tell people how you feel. I know I said it earlier, but share your feelings. Tell people how you feel. That will definitely help you release the gorilla that's on your back. And last but not least, the best way to, you know, get over imposter syndrome is to accept that you have it and then move from there. I think, you know, it's just like anything else, acknowledging it, accepting it, and then saying, okay, I'm getting past this. That's one way to do it. And that's truly a way to get over imposter syndrome. In conclusion, man, I think imposter syndrome, it like I said, it's very common. I mentioned 82% of people have suffered from it at some point in their lives. But I think we also have to understand that we're good people. We do good things, most of us. Most of us are good people and we do good things. And we should be rewarded. We should be celebrated. We should be loved. We should be propped up for the things that we do. And if nobody else does it for you, do it for your damn self. Because we only got one race. We got this race of life to live on this earth. And we might as well enjoy every single day that we can. And you should never spend a day feeling like you don't deserve. Because you know what? You do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thank you for checking out this edition of the 12 Kyle Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. The podcast drops every Thursday at midnight from time to time. We drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. YouTube. Go there, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, hit the notification button, get all those buttons. That way you can see the videos or you can listen to the audio on YouTube. Audio is everywhere. Every streaming platform you can think of, that's where you can find the 12 Kyle Podcast. If you're on social media, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, 12 Kyle and 12 Kyle Podcast. And if you want to give us some money, hey, we will take it. $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for your boy. I am 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000.